I invite you to have your Bibles open this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And we'll start reading in verse 13 on down. The title of today's message is, What is the Church? What is the Church? And we're going to consider two questions. Number one, what is the Church? And number two, why are we here? Now, you may be thinking, what is the Church? What a silly question. Everyone knows what the church is. That's like asking, what is a dog? What is a car? What is a tomato? Everything knows what that is. But actually, everyone does not know what the church is or what the church is for. Sometimes, even we who grow up in church can begin to develop some unbiblical ideas about what church is and what it's for. So sometimes when you're defining something or trying to explain something, it's best by explaining what it is not. And so the church is not a building. Now, we call this building the church, but this is just the building where the church meets. You don't have to have a building to be a church. We are the church, you and I, who are the redeemed followers of Jesus Christ. One definition I thought was a good definition of a church. The church is a body of authentic believers bought by the blood of Christ, reconciled to the Father, gathers together to worship God, to hear His word, to fellowship with one another, and to practice baptism and communion. We are the church of Jesus Christ. The church is not a social club for religious people. It's not like I woke up this morning bored and said, hey, Linda, what are we going to do today? I know. Let's go down to church and see what them religious people are doing. The church is not a religious organization. The church is not a corporation. We are not a business. The church is not a networking hotspot. Now, I've met some people that thought that, and they've got a business, you know, and so they go to a church and there's a lot of new clients for me to get my business. The church is not a welfare office. The church is not a homeless shelter. The church is not the place to meet all of society's problems. We, the church, we are not a political entity. We're not a humanitarian relief center. Church is not a place to be entertained or emotionally manipulated, not a place to come hear a motivational self-help speech. Well, if a church isn't any of those things, according to the Bible, it's not, then just what is the church and what are we supposed to be doing here? To begin to answer these questions, let's look into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? The Son of Man was a title that Jesus took for himself. So he asked his disciples, who are people saying that I am? And they said, verse 14, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The events that we just read of happened take place at the end of Jesus's 3.5 years of public ministry, just before he goes to the cross, and he has the disciples answer the most important question in the world. Who do you say that I am? That's a question that every one of us must answer. Who is Jesus? And Peter, of course, confesses rightly, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And in verse 18, Jesus responds to Peter based on his answer of who I am. on the rock of that truth, I will build my church. And Jesus says the church is his church. I will build my church. The church does not belong to the world. The church does not belong to any government. The church doesn't even belong to Christians. Our local church, Monterey Baptist Church, is not our church. This church doesn't belong to the pastor or to the deacons. It doesn't belong to the members. Instead, we, the church, belong to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must do church his way, not our way. Most people don't think that way about their church. We started the church. It was our idea, so we can do church any way that we want. That's not biblical. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, we read that God the Father put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus as the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And so Christ here is the head over the church. It's his church. He is our leader. Other scriptures describe Christ as the head of the church. We are the members of his body. As the head of our church, he directs and leads this church. And we carry out his commands, his instructions, his desires. So when we gather together each Sunday and Wednesday as the redeemed children of God, we aren't free to do whatever we want to do. We must be doing what God is leading us to do, what Christ directs us to do. And as the church, we must be what Christ directs us to be. We don't come here each Sunday. We don't come here to make ourselves feel better. We don't come here to please ourselves, but we come to honor God. We come to, we come to praise God. We come to exalt Jesus Christ. We come to study his word. We come to encourage each other to live faithful lives for Christ, to become more like our Savior as we serve him and not ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. I'll read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives. I thought we were going to read about the church and Jesus. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she, the church, might be holy and without blemish. Christ loves the church. He loves us. He sanctifies us. It means he sets us apart for himself to do his will. He cleanses us, it says here, by the word of God. And that's why the preaching and teaching of God's word is vital to a healthy church. The preaching and teaching of God's word is the primary focus of our gatherings. It says that he, Christ, will present the church to himself as a bride, holy, spotless, without blemish. We think of Monterey Baptist Church. Are we a perfect church? Without spot, without blemish? No, we're not a perfect church. I don't know that there is a perfect church, but we need to understand that's God's goal. That's Christ's goal for us, that if we submit to him, if we give him our lives, if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if we love each other as he has commanded us to, if we walk in the word, we will be pleasing to God and we will be fulfilling his will for us here in Monterey. Same chapter, chapter 5 of Ephesians on down in verse 29. Again, comparing our love for ourselves with Christ's love for the church, He says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." We believers called into union with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, have been united to Jesus Christ as his bride. That was always a strange thing for me to hear growing up, because I'm a man. I'm not a bride. Women are the bride. But Jesus Christ has saved us from this world, brought us to himself, and we are members of his body, verse 30 says. And how does Christ, Jesus Christ, care for us? It says he nourishes and he cherishes the church, us. He nourishes us. He feeds us with his word. He fills us with his spirit. He cherishes us. What does it mean to cherish something? It means you love someone, something, but you value it as well. It's important to you. We are important to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're members of his body. We've been spiritually joined to him, united to him by new birth into spiritual life. As we've just looked at these few verses, I hope we start to see that the church of Jesus Christ is so much more than most people realize. We are the redeemed children of God. Not because we're good, not because we're special, not because we're religious, but Jesus Christ calls us to himself. He has redeemed us from our sin. God is working on us, he is working in us, and then he works through us to accomplish his purposes on earth. We are Christ's cherished possession, and he uses us to bring other people into his family through the gospel. Jesus loves the church. He loves us. He doesn't care much about this building. But he loves you. Acts chapter 20 tells us that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. The church is costly. We are costly. We cost Jesus his own life. He died to make us his brothers and sisters. Jesus owns the church because he purchased us with his own blood at the price of his own life. That's why church is not about us. Church is not about what we want to do every Sunday. Church is not about programs, programs that we think would be good or helpful. No, church is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom here on earth. Church is about proclaiming his message and giving glory to him alone. The church doesn't exist for us. We exist for Jesus. Now, yes, the church, in a sense, is for us. We do benefit from what God is doing here among us and for us. But the ultimate purpose for Monterey Baptist Church is for God to do his work in our community, his work in the world through his church. When we come to church each week, Saturday night, start to prepare for church. We wake up Sunday morning, we get dressed, take a shower, we eat our breakfast, we grab our Bible, we get in the car, we drive, or if you like the pastor, you walk to church. As we come to church each week, what are we thinking about? What are we anticipating happening here as we worship together? Quite often, well, I'll just say my belief, if the main thing we're thinking about as we come to church is seeing our friends, listening to the great music we have, having a good time, my belief is we're coming with the wrong focus. Misplaced priorities. So what should we be thinking about? What should we anticipate as we come together each week? When we come together as the body of Christ, we should look forward to hearing about Jesus, learning more from God's word, having our lives transformed to be more like Christ in our world. Our focus should be on God and His glory. We should be more Christ-focused than man-focused. Our songs should be songs of praise to God, praising Him for His love and His mercy that He's given to us. We should not be singing about how we feel about God. Yes, our emotions are involved, and we should feel great about God, but that's not the focus. Our feelings are not the focus. Each week, every week, we need to be confronted with the gospel, our need for repentance, a growing faith, remembering that Jesus is the only solution to life's greatest problems. We can have all of this in the back of our mind when we come to church, but I'm saying I think it needs to be at the forefront of our mind. Our focus needs to be sharp. We need to be anticipating, what is God going to say to us today? What does God have for us? My wife loves to do, and I've done before, a devotion on each day, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And she pointed out to me 2 days ago an article that he wrote. He calls it the spiritually self-seeking church. The spiritually self-seeking church. And what he says, the church ceases to be spiritual when it becomes self-seeking, only interested in the development of its own organization. We are not here to develop a spiritual life of our own or to enjoy a quiet spiritual retreat. We are here to build the body of Jesus Christ. And he asked the question, am I building up the body of Christ? Am I building up the others, the one another's we read about in Scripture? Or am I only concerned about my own personal development? To fulfill God's perfect design for me requires my total surrender, the complete abandonment of myself to Him. When I only want things for myself, or when we only come to church for what it can do for me, the relationship is distorted, and I will suffer great humiliation once I come to acknowledge and understand that I have not really been concerned with honoring Christ, but only concerned with knowing what He has done for me. Focus. Why are we here? Why are we coming? What are we doing as we gather together as a church? The Bible tells us that we, the church, are to be the light of the world. We're not just here for us. We're here so that God will work in us and on us and then work through us to introduce others to Jesus Christ, our Savior. We must unashamedly be proclaiming that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. As the New Testament tells us about the Church of Jesus Christ, it emphasizes that every church is supposed to be led by a pastor or elder who preaches and teaches God's Word faithfully and accurately. And we praise God, He has given us a pastor like that. That's God's plan for our spiritual growth and our spiritual health, preaching the Word of God faithfully. The Bible refers to pastors as under-shepherds, charged by God Himself with tending the flock, you and me, that God has entrusted the pastor with. Ephesians 4, verse 12, tells us that the pastor is to use God's Word to equip the saints for the work of serving Christ and serving each other. And again, I thank God for the pastor He sent us. We should encourage him. We should challenge him to challenge us with God's Word. We should help him to be a true example of Christ to others. The New Testament reminds us over and over that the main reason, not the only reason, but the primary reason for our weekly meeting together is for us to be challenged and comforted by the Scriptures. I had a saying many years ago when I was a pastor at another church in my office says the pastor's job is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. Some weeks we come, we need comfort from God's word. So other Sundays we come, we need to be afflicted by God's word because maybe we're not living exactly in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And this is how we hear from God today, through the scriptures. Let's turn and look in Acts. This is actually where our Sunday school lesson was from, Acts chapter 2. So if you were in Sunday school, I apologize. You're getting it again. If you missed Sunday school, you're lucky. You get it now. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, 41 and 42. This is the earliest believers. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and 3,000 were saved, what did they do? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word, Peter's preaching, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Boom, as someone said in Sunday school, there was a mega church right there. 3,000. 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, or the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And on down in verse 46, it tells us that these earliest Christians gathered together in the temple day by day. Day by day, they couldn't get enough of what God was doing in their lives. And what did they do? First of all, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They were primarily concerned with hearing from God's word the great truths about God, the great truths about Jesus Christ, about sin, about judgment, about mercy and grace, about repentance and faith, about how Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about the Redeemer and the Messiah. They came to hear the disciples preach from God's word and teach from God's word about God's new kingdom on earth and their place in that kingdom. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devotion. They were serious. They were earnest about hearing God's truth. Their main focus wasn't music or meals or feeling good about themselves. They wanted God's word. And that is the primary mark of a spiritually healthy church, a hunger for God's word. A desire to hear the Holy Spirit speak through the scriptures rightly applied to our own lives and to focus on any other aspect of worship. And there are other aspects of worship, but to focus on those things more than a focus on God's word to us results in an unbalanced church, often a misguided church, and usually an unhealthy church. Now, doctrine isn't the only thing these early Christians devoted themselves to. There was the important matters of fellowship, breaking bread together, having meals, and prayers. And all of these are important in the life of a biblically healthy church. But the sound preaching of God's word is the most important ingredient, because without that, we're just going through the motions of being a church, what a church is supposed to be doing. And as we continue in the New Testament, so much of the Apostle Paul's instruction to churches and to pastors in those churches focuses on sound teaching, sound preaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 16, he tells Timothy, a young preacher, devote yourself. There's that word again, devote. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. To exhortation. What is exhortation? You're exhorting the people to believe what God has said and to receive what God has said and to do what God has said. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. Keep teaching. Keep preaching. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he really gets serious with Timothy. And he says, I charge you in the presence of God and the presence of Jesus Christ, who's to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. God has said to Pastor Doug, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's what the church is to be doing, preaching God's word. We are to be hearing God's word. We are to receive it with eagerness and open hearts. We are to love God's word. And just as importantly, we are to be living out God's word in the church and in the world. And we are to be telling others God's word. We exist to do the work of Christ in our world until he returns. We exist to build each other up as we serve Christ together, to live for Christ, to share Christ with our neighbors. We are commanded to love each other with the love of Christ. We, members of Christ's body, are to use the spiritual gifts he has given us, not for ourselves, but for each other, to encourage and help and build up our fellow believers. We are to serve each other. Do we like to serve each other? Do we like to be served? That's the work of God in our hearts, that we take delight in serving each other. We are to hold each other accountable, to live a genuine Christian life, a life that's consistent with the life of Christ and what we read in God's word. That's not comfortable. Do you like confrontation? Many people avoid confrontation like the plague. But we're commanded in Scripture because we love each other. And because we want to see each other receive praise at the judgment seat of Christ instead of shame, when one of our brothers or sisters is erring from the way, we are to gently, humbly, lovingly come to them and say, God didn't save you for this. He saved you to live for him, to honor him. What about all the other programs that churches are involved with? Helping the homeless, the sick, the poor in our communities and around the world. We do see instruction in God's word about doing good to others, but are these things presented as programs for the church to do? I think what I see in the Bible is that as we, followers of Jesus Christ, are transformed by God's word, conformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, you, will be led by the Holy Spirit to do those acts of kindness for those who are hurting. Being transformed by the Holy Spirit, we will go out from this place and evangelize those, share Jesus with the people that God puts into our paths. We will leave this place and invite others to come back with us to hear the word of God and to see God's love and grace in action. I'm not saying that our outreach programs to the community aren't important. They are important. I thank you that you are concerned for our neighbors. But to please Christ, his priorities must be our priorities. I'm so thankful for God's hand upon Monterey Baptist Church. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise God for. God has been working among us long before I came. He's been working on us and through us for many years, and I trust that he will continue to grow us spiritually as a church and numerically. But it's important to stop and consider, it's always good to reflect, are we being the church that God wants us to be? Are we doing everything that he wants us to do in the way that he desires and with a focus on him, not ourselves? I challenge myself, Monterey Baptist Church, Let's keep the main thing, our Savior, the main thing. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the salvation that you freely give through Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you have given to us. He is with us. He is in us. Your work on our lives, redeeming us from our lost condition, giving us a future in heaven, Lord, giving us a life of meaning and purpose as we live for you. Lord, help us to remember that it's all for you. It's not for us. It's for you, and it's for the other people that you bring into our lives. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. We see your hand upon us. Continue to lead us and guide us. Help us as a church to stand before you one day in heaven and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful church. With you, I am well pleased." And we will give you the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.